This is gonna be a trip, boy. Oh man, I love it. Yeah, well, I love to get wasted. You know, that's what I love about this fellowship, because that's what I do, man. And it's so awesome to be around, you know, people that like to do what I like to do, you know, except we do it sober now, you know, and that's what's cool. But I still, you know, that first thought is always that good thought, you know, that first drink, you know what I mean, that first thing, you know what I mean. It's like, oh man, but thank God for this fellowship, because boy, it helps me to think it through, because where I always end up. And I've been coming. I was going to AA when I was in 1964 with my grandpa. I didn't know it though. I lived down in the Keys, and my sister and I, we'd go in his station wagon, and we'd go in his station wagon up and down the Keys, and we'd pick up these shady looking characters. They would stink and everything, and they'd get in the car, and me and my grandmother and my sister and my grandpa, you know, and we'd go to this church, these churches and stuff, you know, and all I remember was after we were through, we'd go to the Howard Johnson's and get ice cream, you know, and now I realize it was the meeting after the meeting, and my grandma and grandfather were taking me to the meetings, you know. All I remember, we got to get ice cream, so that was cool, you know. But that didn't stop me from getting loaded, because the first time I got loaded, boy, I found out my first spiritual experience, and that was great, you know. It was like, yeah, this is the answer to life, you know. And that seems to be the ticket in our big book. You know, they talk about that spiritual experience, and that was what I found, you know, when I got loaded, and I found the answer to all of my insecurities and everything like that, you know. I went to my first treatment center. I was like 15 years old and got kicked out of my house because I couldn't quit getting loaded, and I had moved back down to my grandparents' house. I had quit school a couple of times, and ended up, I was going to try to finish up the 11th grade down there in the Keys, and my dad kicked me out of the house because my folks had both remarried, and I had a new brother and sister on each side, and they didn't want me infiltrating the new family because, you know, I like to get loaded. So I had rules and regulations that I was supposed to follow, and the one that I couldn't follow was getting loaded. You know, I wanted to get loaded, you know. And so I moved in with my grandparents, you know, and I went and I started the 11th grade. I'm probably like, I don't know, 18 or something like that. And I was in heaven because I could go to school, and my grandparents, I knew enough respect and things like that, what I could do and couldn't do, but the party was on. I partied every day, and that was when I thought I was controlling it. I was going to school and everything, but man, it was getting loaded all the time, you know, coming home wasted. And my grandparents, they never said a word to me, you know, and I guess they were looking back, just letting me, you know, hit my bottom or whatever. But I'd finished up the 11th grade, and a buddy of mine, we decided we were going to go up to the Keys, we're going to go up to North Carolina, and we're going to party for the summer. And so we went up to North Carolina, and we're going to get an apartment, we're going to work and get some girls and party, you know, and have a great summer and all, you know, get out of the Keys and stuff. So we get up there, and we go up there and get a place to stay. And go out Sunday night, we go to the bar, and we drank a pitcher of beer. The place was dead, and so we decided we were going to go home. We were going to end up working, you know, the next day. So we pull out of the bar, and sure enough, the cops up there, you know, are waiting out of town plates or whatever. And my buddy gets a DUI, and so he gets locked up. And so I had an uncle that lived up in Maggie Valley, and where we were, North Carolina. So I called him up. I was like, yeah, my buddy's in jail, you know, can you get him out of jail, you know? And so he says, okay. He says, you're not going to get away with this without a preaching to you. I knew what was coming, you know, because I'd been around this thing with my grandmother preaching scripture and stuff. So he got us out, and so we go over to the house, and the preacher was there. So they get me and my buddy, you know, and we're sitting on the couch and all, and So the preacher comes over, you know, and he puts his hands on my buddy, you know, and he prays the salvation message to him. You know, and I'm sitting on the couch, I'm watching this. All of a sudden, I'm looking at my buddy, and my buddy starts shaking. He's crying and everything. And I mean, my buddy's getting off, and I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, dang, you know. So I'm waiting. It's my turn next, you know. The preacher's going to put his hands on me, you know. So it's like, okay. And I'm waiting, and he's dead. Nothing happened, you know. And I'm like, dang, you know. And I was like, I felt ripped off. Because I like being wanting to get loaded. I'm waiting for that feeling, you know, and nothing happened to me. And I remember calling my grandmother and telling her what happened. And all. She said, yeah, buddy, you accepted Jesus when you were a kid and all that, you know. And so, but that was where I first tried to start changing the way I was living, because, I was messing up. And I had part of me that still wanted to try to do the right thing, whatever, you know, my perception, I guess, of the right thing was, which definitely wasn't doing what I was doing, I can tell you that. And my first geographical cure, I said, all right, we stayed the summer going to the church, doing this stuff. I'm trying to do the right thing. It was a Pentecostal church too, man. They're doing the tongue thing. I mean, they're doing all this stuff, you know. And it was like, man, it was a spiritual thing going on, you know. And I'm like, I'm tripped out watching this stuff. I'm watching this stuff going on, you know. It's like, that seemed to be the answer. So when it came time to start school again, I just said, wait a minute. No way I'm gonna make it down to Keys. So I said, that's when I moved up to Tampa. It was like 76, I think, and I started the 12th grade over here at Plain High over here, and I stayed with my cousin, and I'm old enough now I can sign my name and everything. But for the first 9 months, I'm staying sober. But I'm going to church, you know, and I'm going to like the youth group. I'm going to the Bible studies and you know, and all this stuff. But man, you talk about feeling uncomfortable. I mean, I was uncomfortable because my perception of this thing. I'm seeing these people and they hadn't lived where I've been. You know, they haven't done these things that I've done, and they seem like they were living this holy life. You know, I keep thinking I'm a heathen. You know, all the stuff I've been. They kept telling me, no, don't worry about it. God forgives you. Everything is okay. You know, and I was doing great, you know, but I knew where the parties were going on, and I kept my nose to the grindstone. I'm doing good in school and everything. About 9 months into this thing, I'm at a Bible study, and it plants, you know, and all of a sudden I meet this guy that was like me, and he'd been sober for 30 days. And we're getting to talking and everything, and I'm telling him what happened to my buddy and everything, you know. We're headed. Finally, I met somebody like me that's trying to change their life, you know, and try to do this deal, you know. And his mother was like my grandmother and everything, and we get to talking and everything, you know. And I'll tell him what happened. Next thing you know, we're going to go up to North Carolina where this thing happened. Well, my buddy comes up with a brainstorm. Yeah, we need to get a bag of pot for the trip. That was all she wrote. And it was all I could do to finish school. The party was on again, you know. It started off this allergy that I've got. And what was funny, I say funny about it, wasn't funny at the time. Well, it was weird because I was living with some folks in the church. And man, as soon as I got loaded, it was like, first it was like, yeah, you know, it was like, but then it was like that fear and that thing, oh my God, what did I just do, you know? And I was trying to live them two lives, you know, and it was like, and the only way to shut that voice up is get more loaded, get more loaded, get more loaded, you know? And as y'all well know, man, this thing just kept getting worse and worse, you know, and I'm trying to hang on. So it goes, my next brainstorm is I want to get us alcoholism, and I'm going with my buddy, and we go to the store and meet this girl, fine-looking girl. I said, dang, and she's sober. So I said, oh, man, let me ask this girl out. She's sober. I get this sober girl, I'm going to go out, and that's going to be cool, right? So I start going out with her, and I'm staying sober and not hanging around with my friend. Well, I think I was sneaking off or something, maybe, you know, like after I dropped her off, you know, but I knew I was going to stay sober. Anyway, get married, moved down to the Keys, and 6 months into the deal, I ended up seeing a buddy of mine and snuck off and got loaded, and that was it. It started the thing again. It was like, y'all young, that's like, cool, you know, hiding this thing from your parents. You know, when I was trying to hide this thing from my parents and trying to hide this alcoholism, man, you said it's hard to do. I remember trying to I just couldn't do it, and ended up, she left me. And So at first I said, no, I don't need her. I'm going to do something. Then about a month later, I was like, oh, baby, I love you. Please take me back, you know. And I'll never do it again. And that's when I got my first year. I was getting loaded, and I'd got my first year of sobriety. It was like 1980, I think, something like that. I was probably 22, 23, and a lot of the guys that, there were some of the fellas that are still here. It was at 33-33. And I got into this fellowship wholeheartedly, and I'm going to meetings over and over and over, and the guys, they took me under their wing, and, you know, first making the coffee and making the secretary of the group and everything, you know, and the next thing you know, the person that I wanted to love and appreciate me the most was my wife, you know, but she was never ever happy. And I'd tell the old timers, you know, and I'd tell them, you know, man, you know, I said, don't worry about it. Just keep coming back. Just keep working on you and everything's going to be all right, you know. And I'd try to do that. I'm happy going to meetings. My business is doing good. But, you know, the person I wanted to appreciate me the most didn't, you know. And one day I went home, and right after I had a year, I think, you know, I go, what am I staying sober for? Ended up picking up a drink, and lost the marriage, lost my business, you know, just this thing, this alcoholism. And so, you know, I had a year and a half, then I had almost 3 years one time, and I thought I was never ever going to ever get loaded again. And ended up getting remarried, and I'm going to try to condense this real quick. Basically, they used to tell me in the old days, you don't grow, you go, you got to make AA your way of life. And today, you know, I see what they mean. Now, my grandmother used to preach them scriptures to me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you, you know. And now we come in here to AA, and they tell me, just keep my sobriety number one. And I got the grasp of that thing, you know, and everything else just falls into place when we do this deal. But I couldn't get sober, and I was drinking to die. I'd been in and out of treatment center. My wife was nursemaiding me and everything, and I was shooting heroin. I ran out of veins. You can tell I lost my leg. That didn't do nothing, you know. And I was drinking to die because I had the sweetest woman in the world. I couldn't get sober. In and out of jail. You know, that's why I love going to jails and detoxes, because I can relate to them guys. Man, I get into freaking detox. Hurt dog, sick as a dog, you know. But right by the time I'm cured, I'm ready to go out, I'm feeling good. This time I'm going to do it. I get out that doggone door, and something would switch in my brain. Oh, I just take one drink, I'll be all right, man. And that was it, you know, and I couldn't get sober. So anyway, I was drinking to die. I was drinking a quart of vodka a day, and was going down to my mom's house, and had a beard down to here, hair down to here. I'm 250 doggone pounds, and I got sick going across the Naples, going over to my mom's at Miami, and I was withdrawing on the floor a couple of days, probably from here to the door there, and a couple of days later, my stepfather was alive at the time, came in and said, buddy, what do you plan on doing? He had to do something with his leg or something, you know, and this happened millions of times. So I was like, I got to get my stuff together, you know. So I said, all right, I got up. I hadn't eaten for days, had some crackers and some cheese, and got some strength, came back up here to Tampa. And for 3 weeks, I'm sober. Had cable at the time. I'm watching Sports Center over and over and over. My wife's working, you know. And after 3 weeks, man, a thought came to my brain, dang, I'd like to have a drink. And, you know, we throw around the word, the grace of God, you know, that's the only thing I can think of, because the next thought that came to my brain was, you know, I need to get my butt back into AA. And so I did. It was at Yana. I started going to the 6:30, started going to the 12:30, going to, you know, got a sponsor, went through, they do the same thing all over again, you know, and then everything where I am today, and so many things have fallen into place. And the thing that I love, you know, my boy was locked up at the time, he was in prison, and I was doing this thing. I hadn't been locked up in a while. I saw this jail thing up there, you know. I said, yeah, I need to go back. I mean, I've been locked up for a while. I wanted to relate, you know. And like so many things in here, like we're helping somebody else and how it helps us. Son of a gun, you know, I hooked up with Dick and got into the jails and the detoxes and stuff. It was like, man, I found a home now, you know what I mean? Those are my meetings. I love going out there. I got Mike say, or Bill say, something that made so much sense to me, that this isn't my element. That's why I love going to detox and to jails, because that's me and my element. And that's what's happened to me my whole life. I forget where I come from. I forget in a heartbeat because things go good for me. And something in my brain tells me it wasn't that bad. So hopefully I'm doing what I'm supposed to do today, and I won't pick up a drink the rest of the night because I don't think I want to today. So, hey, it's good talking to y'all. Thanks.